Good morning. You listen to FordDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Santo Tercivia, who's the owner of Market Insights LLC. Santo, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Kemp. How are you?
I'm good. Most people know that you're our economist. You and I partner on a lot of the statistical data. Year over year, we look at all kinds of different trends, and we just got some recent information that you and I thought might be interesting to our listeners. The U.S. Census, we went reached out to them, and they gave us some statistics around how many floor covering stores there are now, and they gave us a six-year window, so it shows what's happened through this recession. Let's go through that. The last data that they could give me was 2011, but they gave us 2006. So starting with 2006, there were 14,592 retail floor covering stores, and they had a total of 99,000 employees and a payroll of about $3.5 billion. That's been on the decline, and so if you look at 2011 now, there's under 12,000, there's 11,858 floor covering stores with 62,000 employees and a payroll of $2.2 billion. So those numbers have really fallen through this recession, haven't they?
Yes, they have. The other aspect of this, and I've been looking at these numbers and trying to see what they say, and what they seem to be saying is that floor covering stores, the ones that are surviving, tend to be smaller stores because we're seeing fewer employees per location. And those numbers you gave in 2011, the 11,858, those represent locations, not companies. So if there's one company, they have three locations, they're in here three times. And that says a lot. The number of stores is contracting overall. But going back to the original point, the stores seem to be getting smaller because there are fewer employees in them. And that would make sense. The stores that seem to have the highest, slightly higher profitability and the more options open to them are the middle-sized stores, you know, in the $1.5 to $2 million range. And they have the option, and a lot of them have, join buying groups, which give them power beyond their individual selves would have. The smaller stores generally can't afford the economics of that, and the larger stores, it's harder for them to justify joining a group because they're getting some of those advantages already, and they're the ones that are bumping up against these larger stores and having a bit of a go of it, I think, harder go.
Yeah, you know, you're the one that told me that I could go get this information, and I got it, like I said, from the U.S. Census. Tell us now, since you've been looking at this data for many years, who's being counted in here and who's not as far as the type of store that they're looking at here?
Well, if you're considered a flooring specialty store, then you have to be doing 50.1% of your business in floor covering or more. If you're doing less than that, then there's an algorithm that they use to determine what kind of store you are. If you do 40% of your sales in floor covering and 60% in, say, furniture, you're a furniture store. But if you have a mix of products, none of which are 50% or more, then there's a definition. You have to fit certain definitions to figure out where they're going to place you in terms of your classification. But any store that's considered a floor covering store has to do the majority of their sales in floor covering.
All right. So it's safe to assume then that the Lumber Liquidator stores are in here, but you're not going to find, since we know that Home Depot and Lowe's, you know, the only 6% of their sales roughly is in floor covering. So they're certainly not in here, are they?
No. And they've been growing over the same time period you've been talking about. They have grown anywhere from 9%. I think overall, the top three home centers have grown locations just short of 10%.
The floor and decor, they'd be in here, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
And so would the tile shop.
Okay. And we know they've been growing, right?
Yeah, all of them have been growing. The one who's been actually growing the fastest is Lumber Liquidators. And that's another point. Traditionally, we in the floor covering business have looked at the home centers versus the floor covering stores when we're looking at channel conflict. I think that while that's still obviously a valid competitive set, it's no longer the dominant set. I think it's now shifted to larger floor covering stores versus smaller floor covering covering stores. There's, in my estimation, lumber liquid. If you're a small floor covering store and you're competing against lumber liquidators, it's the same as competing against Home Depot or Lowe's. Same thing with the tile shop and these other guys. Plus, these guys also, these larger stores, have access to Wall Street financing, just like Home Depot and Lowe's do, and some of the similar advantages. They have their own store brand, and they sell, obviously, outside brands as well. But that's another issue, too. These major retailers are shifting increasingly to their own store brands, their private label brands, and that could spell trouble down the road for some manufacturers.
Yeah. Now, another point, you know, I went to the CCA Global meeting, which, you know, had the Carpet One and the Flooring America, and they were talking about, they were smiling, there'd been some growth. But as you dug into who was growing, the bigger members, like the, you know, the Brewers and the Levi's and the Aaron Perners, you know, those guys were growing faster than the guys with just one store.
Well, there's always going to be a place for a store that has some benefit to tout to the consumer. And a combination of that and location, excuse me, and, you know, geography. And let's face it, Lowe's survived for so many years because they were not up against Home Depot directly. They were up against them in the fewest number of locations compared to like a Heckinger's or Builder Square or some of the other competitors in the home center area. And they survived long enough to get themselves to a size where they could compete with Home Depot. Floor covering stores, you know, some of these larger guys have the benefit of somewhat geographic insulation, but they also probably have some advantages, reputation in their communities, unique service elements, whatever it is that keeps them going, and more power to them.
Another point I want to make is, you know, in July, we ask retailers to fill out a survey, and we compare that data versus the previous years. And, you know, this year, for the first time since the end of the recession, we were seeing that the average net sale and the overall revenue for those that participated in our survey was up. So that was good news to hear.
Yeah, and I would say something else, too. I'm going to go against the trend a little bit here, and I'm going to say that in the next couple of years, as the builder market comes back, we're going to see flooring stores come back a little bit, too. Flooring stores, generally speaking, about 20-25% of their business is to home builders. And as the builder market comes back, I think you're going to see some floor covering stores revitalize and reopen. I mean, let's face it, there are no barriers in this industry.
Right.
You know, you can get credit. All you got to do is get a couple of displays, and you're in business. I know I'm oversimplifying it, but the truth is there are very few barriers to entry in the business.
Yeah, right.
And I think you're going to start to see floor covering stores come back a little bit.
Okay. Well, Santo, about to run out of time. Appreciate you spending time with us and helping me share this data. Again, been talking to Santo Tercivia, who's the owner of Market Insights LLC, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.